Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Jesse Green here at the control panels as always. And today we're having a conversation about IT. I know it's not a conversation that most people have regularly, but IT is at the heart of every dental practice. We're relying more and more and more on technology. As our gear becomes more sophisticated, we need this piece of equipment to talk to that piece of equipment. And so having a robust IT solution is critical. So our guest today is James Borg, and he's the founder and head honcho at Teamwork Technology. And these are the guys that helped me get out of a whole lot of strife recently when we had a bit of an IT hiccup because we were attacked by a crypto locker virus. These are the guys that helped us get out of the poo. But in this conversation, we're going to be talking a little bit more than just that kind of drama. We're going to be uncovering the common mistakes that dentists make with their IT, but more importantly, how to fix them and what should be in place. We're going to be leading into a conversation about the essentials of a really robust and good IT solution for a dental practice. And we're going to be talking a lot about, the action plans. What things do you need to have in place to make that work so that, when you do have your IT solutions, you want to make sure that you minimize any downtime and obviously negate or mitigate the risk against any loss of productivity due to IT failure. So James is going to give us the good oil on all of that. Now, if you haven't had the opportunity to listen to last week's episode with Paul Dunn, which was about creating a purpose-driven practice, I'd really encourage you to go and have a look at that episode. It was an episode that was really a personal one for me because Paul is a mentor of mine, and I hope it really resonates with you as well. So without any further ado, here's today's episode with James Borg. I hope you enjoy it. I look forward to talking to you soon. James, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming along today. I'm really looking forward to having a conversation with you about IT and really how to make your practice work more effectively from that particular viewpoint. So thanks for coming along, mate. It's really good to have you.
Thank you for having me, Jesse. It's a pleasure to always have a chat.
Yeah, well, we've had a few chats, mate. And in fact, we've had a few chats mainly because I've had a few IT snafus over a little while. And I wanted to take the opportunity to kind of get inside your head a little bit and unpack some stuff around IT that, some of the things that we've discussed. And I think, hopefully the audience will find really helpful as well so that we can, make sure that they don't suffer the same fate I suffered with a few of my things. But before we get into some of those specifics, mate. I mean, you've been around dentistry for quite a while now, and obviously you've been around IT for quite a while, so you're in that lovely position where, IT and dentistry come together and collide. When it comes to IT and dentists in particular, where do you see the most common mistakes happening? Why is it dentists have challenges with IT? What's going on?
Some of the things that we see most common in dental IT is a lot of IT guys, as one of my favorite customers once told me, is we're all propeller heads. The drama that we have is that we like to overcomplicate things. And the biggest drama that we see in dental is that you end up with a full corporate grade setup, whereas, 90% of practices, they just need something simple.
So effectively what you're saying is that we can tend to over-engineer things and have things that can break along the way. Is that what you're saying? Whereas a more simple and streamlined solution would probably work more effectively and more reliably?
Yeah, you don't need a rocket to drive to the shops. You need a Fiat Punto or something. this is the number one mistake that we find that IT companies give dentists.
So they give them a full corporate solution when, in fact, something a little more purpose-specific would be a better fit, yeah?
That's correct.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so that's a really big one, perhaps over-pimping your IT at the outset. What other things do you see going on there where dentists come unstuck with their IT, mate?
A lot of network security. So what you find is that there are some really great network protection softwares out there. The biggest drama that we find with them is that they kill everything. So all of a sudden you have this great security package, but all of a sudden you can't take x-rays. Your dental software doesn't open, so you can't make or take bookings, and the whole world stops.
So in essence, in our efforts to try and protect privacy, protect our data, protect everything, everything comes to a grinding halt and it impedes our ability to go about our day-to-day business, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. The biggest drama that we find with a lot of IT companies is they don't have the experience with the Dental for Windows, with the Exact, with the Oasis, you know, with the Sodexis, all these other dental software. And they put these solutions in and it kills them.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we've spoken a little bit about over-pimping your IT solution at the beginning. We've spoken about then overlaying that with the most robust security features under the sun, so that this over-pimp solution now no longer works.
Yep.
So that clearly there's going to be a waste of time, effort, and resource and money and all of that. Where else are people going wrong with their IT, mate? What are the other challenges?
We find that a lot of companies, they have all their eggs in a lot of baskets. Well, they'll have their emails hosted over here. They'll have their internet over there. And what happens is something goes wrong and there's never one person that they can contact.
Ah. So in essence, when you ring your support person for your email or your internet or whoever it is, it's kind of everyone pointed at each other saying, don't ask us, talk to them.
That's correct. And that's where things like total ownership of a solution come into place. One of my customers, for example, calls me up and says, I've got an email issue. Then we're able to deal with it end to end and the customer can just focus on what they do best, for focusing on their patients.
Yeah, cool. So, when it comes to all of these challenges, mate, obviously we've spoken about, where people go awry, but what are the consequences of this? On a day-to-day basis, if someone's not got the right IT shoe to fit their, IT foot, so to speak, if the solution isn't a good fit for them, how does that manifest in the practice? How does it show up apart from where you've got that security and things grind to a halt? Where else do you see the sticking points and how does that show up on a day-to-day basis?
The sticking points that I most commonly see is somebody will click on something or go to do something and they can't do it or they have to wait, which means that as a dentist, you look incompetent because you've got a patient in the chair and you're there going, oh, sorry, I've just got to wait for this to load up. It doesn't look good on any front. And that's my honest view. If you can be more efficient and do things faster, you can have more patients in and out of that chair in a day as well.
There's the looking professional piece and then there's the productivity piece. So, when you're waiting for the program to load, obviously, that impacts, a couple of minutes here and there. All of a sudden you've found yourself, 30 minutes of productivity throughout the day.
They add up. Over a period of a year, we're talking thousands of dollars, considering, we like to look at for every hour that a dental practice is down or loses, there's $1,000 worth of productivity per chair.
That's an enormous amount of productivity over the year. I don't want to do the math on that. It's just too frightening to think about. Okay, mate, so we understand that there's got to be some good architecture in place. We understand that, you've got to have a good IT solution that, is fit for purpose and all the rest of it. What are the essential elements of a good IT program or a good IT solution then? What would be the key pieces of that puzzle?
Basically, your server. That's always going to be the heart of the network. If you have the right server in place, you'll never go wrong. What we find is a lot of practices, they are smaller. Typically, a three-seat practice, they don't need a full-blown dedicated server. And we hear horror stories all the time. We ended up picking up a client a while back, a lovely gentleman. He had three computers in his practice, and he had a $10,000 server there.
Wow.
Mind you, it's a very reliable server. We had to do some works to make it even more reliable, but it was just complete and utter overkill. When he is due for an upgrade very shortly, he'll be able to run everything from his office computer in general, because you don't need a server when you're at that size. You just need a computer that's not used very often.
To act as the service, okay. So we know that the server is the heart of the IT network. What are the other pieces of good IT infrastructure that, if I was starting up a practice now and I'm thinking, okay, well, I've got to get my IT sorted, what are the pieces that I really need to have, laid out there?
The most important pieces are your server, which we've already gone through, your backups. Backups are, in my eyes, the most crucial thing out there. What we've seen over the past couple of years, it's gone from just backing up your data to backing up your computer to full image. What we're seeing now is it's not about the uptime as much is what the industry is responding with. It's about what happens when things go down. Traditional backup software, we used to have to go in, reinstall Windows, reinstall the software, and then recover the data on top. These days with full image products like Shadow Protect, for example, which is what I would have to say is one of the industry leaders for small, medium, and large business. That takes a full Xerox of your server machine every 15 minutes during business hours. What that allows you to do is, if you were to get hit with a crypto locker, or, you know, I like to use the common analogy of, you know, your practice is burning down, throw your least favorite dental assistant in and hope that she comes out with the backup drive, and you've only lost 15 minutes worth of data.
Yeah, okay, all right. HR from the IT company right there, folks.
Yep.
Cool. Okay, so good backup, good servers. What else?
Great network security. So my view on network security is the best protection is like an onion. You need layers upon layers upon layers. So that could be a firewall on the perimeter of your network. Another layer could be antivirus on your computer, but we typically like to add another layer as well where possible. It's called the umbrella. What it does is it relays all requests that go out of your computer and it sends it to a third party, Cisco, and it looks for malicious attacks, malicious requests. By stopping a lot of these requests before they hit your computer or go out from your computer and come back, what you can do is you can actually stop a lot of attacks at the high end. The low end, you know, we've got practices that buy this product just so they can stop their DAs from looking at Facebook all day or checking their personal emails.
So you can tweak the settings to suit, right?
Yeah, of course. So my father-in-law is a dentist in the industry and my wife is, you know, the practice manager there. And she had no end of dramas with her staff accessing their Gmails and booking holidays and even looking for employment.
Nice. That's always a good thing to see on the internet history, isn't it?
That's it. Now, the funny thing is my father-in-law is the sweetest guy in the world. So I don't know why they're looking for other jobs, because I'd take a job with him in a heartbeat. But by stopping that behavior, my wife's practice has seen productivity increases again from their staff, because there's nothing for them to do other than work.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. Remove the distractions. I think that's the thing is, you know, the analogy I use when I'm talking to my clients, not so much in this particular area, but when you want to focus, it's like putting the blinkers on a racehorse that's running down the straight. And if you take the blinkers off, there's, you know, lots of shiny objects to go and look at, Facebook or, you know, Twitter or Gmail or, you know, whatever it happens to be, Instagram. And again, by putting that layer in place, what I'm hearing you say, mate, is you're effectively blinkering their vision throughout the workday, so they just focus on what needs to be done.
Yeah. Oh, you'll still have problems because they always have Facebook on their mobile phones. And that's a company policy, you know, fix anyway. You just say phones and lockers. It's easy done. Now, the other most important parts of the network that we also find are computers.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's probably the easiest one to point out, you know. Our practice is buying the right computers. And a lot of the time we find that they're not.
What are the elements of the right computer then? Is it memory or is it processor speed? What are the essential ingredients there?
It's a little bit of everything. What we find is brand is important. As we discussed earlier, we said uptime is key. We're partners with HP. We provide HP computers. And the reason why we like to use their brand, and it's not because we're partners, it's because we believe in their brand. You know, I'm looking at a pile of five of them at the moment, ready to go out to a customer site. But if something goes wrong with those computers, we ring up HP. And then the next day, guess what? Technician comes in with the part, replaces it. Or we found that, you know, you've got other brands out there, you know, that are all business orientated and they have the same or similar sort of response time.
And what do you think about a Mac then, mate, in terms of practice? Because, I mean, it is a well-known fact that if you use a Mac, and I'm sitting on a Mac, that, yeah, you're immediately 7.5% cooler than the guy on a PC. So
7.5, mate, it's a lot more than that.
No, I'm joking. But a Mac's appropriate in a practice environment, because I'm imagining PCs are going to be more robust in the practice environment than a Mac, right?
Yeah. So, look, Macs are great. The biggest drama that we find with them is the support that goes along with them. So you'll find that straight away you'll need to put Windows on it. Classic example, I've got a 27-inch iMac on my desk at work. I love the thing to death because I'm instantly 20% cooler. It's not 7.5%.
It's 20%. Okay, all right.
It's 20%. I'm the coolest guy in my office. Followed by my wife, who has also a 27-inch iMac on her desk and when she's working here.
Yeah, good backpedal there, mate, just quietly.
Yep. So what I found was a couple of weeks ago, come into work, my Mac's looking a bit funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just hold the power button down, turn it off, and fire it back up. Didn't want to turn on. Because it's the 27-inch, and because it was the AppleCare and all of that, they come to us. However, I still had to wait 2 weeks before I had my computer back.
Yeah, sure, okay. So if that was a practice, that's just way too much downtime.
Yeah, that's it. Like I had documents on that computer that, you know, I may have needed. I'm lucky because I save everything on the shared drive. If you're without your computer for 2 weeks, it becomes an extension of you in your business. So you need it.
Okay, so in terms of choosing the right machine, yeah, it's about having a little bit of everything, the right amount of processor speed, the right amount of memory, and you're saying that, you know, buy a brand that's reliable, has good support, and is able to look after you so your downtime is minimized, yeah?
That's it. And I'll just go off with another tiny tangent here. We have some customers, and they buy generic computers. So these are computers that are built, you know, by little computer shops, and they are cheaper. You probably save about $200, $300 a computer. The drama that we see with them is something goes wrong, there's no support. And because they are built with a little bit of this part, a little bit of that part, you'd think that, you know, it'll all work. It's all compatible stuff. But we see a lot of dramas where, you know, somebody will buy a generic computer, they've decided to cut corners every step of the way, and they'll plug their intraoral camera in, and guess what? It won't work.
Yeah, okay. And of course, then it hits the productivity. And as soon as you don't have your intraoral camera, you know, you're not able to present cases as effectively. And all of a sudden, that $300 that you saved on your computer suddenly seems the most expensive $300 you've ever spent.
So it's all about how you present it to the patient. No intraoral camera, no dyes.
Bugger. Okay, cool. So, Matt, I wanted to have a bit of a chat to you about, you know, the concept of ransomware at the moment, because this is something, well, I wouldn't say near and dear to my heart. It strikes fear into my heart, but it is something that we experienced at our practice rather recently. And you know, thankfully, you and your team were able to get us back up and running in, you know, no time flat. But one of the things that, you know, I was talking to one of our patients the other day, actually, who works in one of the federal agencies here in Canberra, and he was saying that ransomware is becoming really increasingly common. Is that your experience as well? Have you seen, you know, more of an uptick in that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So over the past 2 years, it has been, you know, it's just come out of the woodwork. What we're finding is customers are losing a lot of data. They're getting hit. And there are some easy ways to stop yourself from getting hit. Yeah, and nothing's ever foolproof, but we've found that it's all about planning your protection.
Yeah, and just to interrupt you for a second, for anyone listening who doesn't know what ransomware is, effectively what can happen is, in our practice at least, someone clicked on an email that, you know, obviously got through the email filters, and that then locked up all our data. We then received a ransom note saying, if you want your data back, yeah, or if you want access to your data, you need to pay a certain amount of money. They didn't steal the data, they just locked it down so we couldn't get to it. So, sorry, Matt, just to quickly explain that for anyone who might not know what ransomware is, and you managed to help us get our data back without having to pay the ransom.
There. Well, so we got lucky, we had a good backup at the time. But with this ransomware, what we're finding is they're starting to twist it and change it. So, for example, we're starting to see new variants. You know, through the media, we haven't encountered one yet. But that's, you know, like I said, protection. We provide our clients with protection that we use ourselves because it works. Nothing's ever foolproof, but we try. But ransomware. In the old days, it'd just lock your files up and off you go. There's a new one out, and it's called Jigsaw. It's actually inspired by the Saw movie, if you've seen them or heard of them, right? What it does is it infects your computer, and then it taunts you. Okay, it physically taunts you. It comes up with a counter and says, your files have been encrypted using military-grade encryption, blah, blah, blah. We're going to delete a file every 15 minutes until you pay the ransom, right? And it even goes further than that. We've heard cases where, you know, it'll get your internet browsing history. It'll get any passwords stored on the machines. It'll get everything, your Skype contact list. What it'll do is it'll upload it to them, and then it will flick it out to people on your mail contacts and in your Skype list.
Oh, no. So then it just spreads, obviously, like a virus does, and yeah, then it's kind of going further and further.
It's sending your personal details to your contacts.
Oh, my goodness,
like
mate.
Like a blackmail, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Facebook message that you sent to your mate suddenly becomes public property or whatever it is.
Yeah, it could be anything like that. It could be your Facebook password given to every one of your contacts.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah, got it. So that's a huge drama, and certainly when we had our encounter with, which was CryptoLockerVirus, which was one that just locked down our data, you know, we had to put in place some additional protection as a result of that. And I know you've alluded to some of that already, but one of the things that I found, you know, as you said, we were lucky we had some good backup in place. So obviously, you know, we'd listened to you a bit around that. but we still needed to have some shadow protect in there as well, right? So you've added all that sort of stuff in for us now. So can you just, so for anyone listening, this is a case study of Jesse Green's trials and tribulations with crypto locker virus. And I'm telling you this because I hope that the audience here can avoid the hassle and the heartache that we went through, because as good as James and his team are, we still lost a few hours of productivity. We lost a morning of productivity, which obviously cost us a few $1,000s, plus the inconvenience of having to send machines off to be cleaned and wiped and all the rest of it. So really the purpose of having this discussion around the crypto locker experience that we had was really just to highlight some of the things that we've done well, or we had done well prior to the attack. And I should point out that James was not our IT person prior to the attack, but since the attack, where he was so good at helping us, he's become our IT guy. But I wanted to highlight some of the things that we had done well prior, some of the lessons where we might have done things better, and thirdly, some of the things that we've put in since, some of the layers of protection we've put in since, so that we don't get hit again. And I really want to make sure that by unpacking this for you guys, you can learn from some of the challenges that we encountered so you never have to go through this yourself. So James, hit me with it. Tell me, what did we do okay, you know, prior to meeting you? What were we doing okay? And where do you think we could have done better in that initial setup?
What were you doing okay is you had a setup that was actually working quite well for your practice in terms of your requirements. It wasn't too over the top. It wasn't too crazy. Good all-round setup. Where it really fell down was, number one, the spam protection. The email got through. Number two, staff training. You know, I think it was an AGL gas bill. You don't have gas. They're the perimeters. They're the things that you really need to make sure that you have in place, because all it takes is one bad email to infiltrate. What we struggled with your setup in particular, was your backups were set to go from your server to your front desk computer that had a USB hard drive plugged into it. Once you got encrypted, it encrypted all the backups. So effectively, when we logged on remotely, we didn't have any backups to work with, just, you know, a front desk computer that was encrypted and encrypting all your files on the server at the same time. What you did have going for you is you had something called shadow copies set up. And all a shadow copy is it's a previous version of a file from, you know, earlier that day, from earlier that week, and its sole purpose is there for you to pull out a file rather than having to go to a backup. Because traditionally, backups were on tape, and to recover from a tape, it was a nightmare. You had to mount the tape, you had to find the spot in the tape where the files were, and possibly wait hours and hours and hours for it to recover. The fact that, you know, your previous IT company had ticked that box to enable that feature was the lifesaver for you.
If we had not had that feature, then we would have been well and truly in trouble, right?
You would have been up a creek without a paddle.
So there's lesson number one, guys. Make sure you got shadow protect, or shadow copies, sorry, whatever it was, sorry.
Shadow copies. And that brings us on to the next thing. The backup solution that you were using was the one that was built into Windows, which, you know, had it not have been corrupted, we should have been able to recover from it. The biggest drama was we didn't know at that stage, had it been working. You know, I don't even think you were getting emails every day to tell you that your backups were working. You know, you're plugging a hard drive in every day and praying to God that, oh yeah, this is going to work.
Yeah, so we were praying regularly at the altar of the IT gods.
That's it.
Maybe our faith was misplaced there, so that's cool.
We implemented Shadow Protect for you, which is that backup software that we discussed earlier, and it makes a backup of your systems every 15 minutes during business hours. My view is that if you have a patient that comes in and tells you about an infectious disease that they have, they're not going to tell you next time they come in. So realistically, to lose even a minute worth of data, in my eyes, is unacceptable. The biggest drama that we have is that feasibility-wise, it's very hard to pull off a minute. So 15 minutes, we found, is a nice little spot. It also sends your team an email every day advising them the backups were successful. The backups weren't successful. The backups between 3 and 4 were failed, but everything else is all good. These are the things that
you want to know.
You need to know, because ultimately, you know, it's your practice's or any practice's own responsibility to make sure their backups are working.
Completely.
We help, and, you know, when something fails, we'll jump on and make it work straight away. but the practices, yeah, it all comes down to them.
So, okay, mate. So there's the things that we did a few things pretty well at the beginning, or okay at the beginning. Obviously, the things that we could have done better for sure. But since that time, we've put in place layers of protection with Shadow Protect and other things.
Yeah. We also put in cloud backups as well.
We have, indeed. And in fact, we get regular emails now, as you've already alluded to tell us how backups have been successful. And that's actually just a really nice peace of mind thing.
What else did we do? I think we also gave you F-Secure, which is our high-end antivirus software that we've tested. We tested very thoroughly. We tested it for about 3 months.
Yeah. And again, so here's the thing with most dentists, guys, anyone listening to this will know this, is that, we focus on what we focus on in terms of doing our job. But, if someone was to come and say to me, Jesse, do a comparison of the best antiviral software out on the market, I wouldn't have a clue, no idea, nothing, nada. And so we're relying on experts to give us this advice. And so what we found is that the previous antiviral software, just wasn't up to the grade. We were blissfully ignorant of the inadequacy of what we had at that point. We thought we had a fairly robust system. And I think it was only after this, crypto locker attack, we realized that system was not as robust as we had first thought. So again, if nothing else, guys, I'd encourage you to get your IT systems audited and checked, and just make sure that, what was set up for you at the time may well have been best practice then, but things change. And I'd really encourage you to get your IT stuff audited and make sure that you are, up to date with everything you need to be up to date, so that you don't have the hassles and heartaches that we had.
Regular auditing is important. And being in touch with your IT providers, it's very important on a regular basis. We found in the past that there were companies out there installing setups and just leaving and never coming back, never touching base. And antivirus softwares are expiring, and we've come on board, and just everything, it's all subscription. So that way you've always got the latest, rather than buying 12 monthly licenses. We provide monthly licenses.
So if there's an update, you just get it.
Yeah, we might even decide one day that the software that we're using now is horrible and not protecting. So it allows us the ability to ring you up, Jesse, and go, hey, Jesse, guess what? This software, whilst it was great, is no longer the best solution. We're going to reinstall this, and it's all covered.
Yeah, cool. That's great. So man, I wanted to have a little talk to you about future-proofing. Because, IT seems to change every 5 minutes. In my mind, I think XP is still the latest operating system. I'm joking. But ultimately, IT does change regularly. So where do you see, some of the things going in terms of technology? And, again, because as we're setting up our practices, we don't want to have to come back to this every 5 minutes and, update all the time. So what can we put in place now to future-proof our practice in terms of what's coming down the pipeline?
It comes down a lot to what you've already got. If you are setting up a new dental practice, I think it comes down to sort of solution that you even start off with as the practice management software. There's a lot of movement and shaking around the cloud at the moment, and we're finding that there's two real competitors out there who I think have really high-end cloud solutions for dental, and that would be the Practica and Dentrix Ascend. The reason I like these two products in particular is, we're turning into an iPad ruled world. Like, everybody goes home, sits on their iPad on the lounge, and what they want is Jesse, you want to know straight away if you can pull out your iPad and go surfing tomorrow morning if you live on the beach, or go have a sleep in or spend the morning with your children. Being able to pull that up, that's invaluable.
So you need to be able to basically jump online. These days, it's about remoting into your practice. But if you've got a cloud-based software, you can just basically log in and away you go.
That's correct. It also means that, you might have a miraculous discovery, while you're eating your Cocoa Pops in the morning and go, I did this job yesterday. I saw this patient. I just wanted to check over those notes again, make sure that everything's all right. And you can do that at the breakfast table using nothing more than your iPhone, your iPad.
Yeah, cool. So just to be clear, though, not many dentists are going to be eating Cocoa Pops, I hope, mate.
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar. Anyway, that's all cool.
I was going to say Fruit Loops.
Yeah, even worse. All right. Okay, so
all brand.
Yeah, exactly. We like to keep it healthy here at Savvy Dentist. One of the things, all professional here, you get the latest tips, not just about IT, but about breakfast cereal, folks. So, dietary advice aplenty. What I wanted to check in with you around, James, was a couple of action plans. So three things that the audience members can really take away today and go, okay, if James is going to get me to do three things, what would they be? First cab off the rank would be which one?
It would definitely be antivirus.
Antivirus. Okay, so check your antivirus. Make sure you got the latest and greatest, right?
Yep, that's definitely it.
Cool.
The second one would be backups. Okay.
And there's cloud-based backups or, you know, some sort of off-site backup, obviously.
I always take the view of have a double-barreled approach. Look at having a local hard drive backup, but also have your cloud solution. So if for whatever reason, just like what happened with your practice, Jesse, your backups get encrypted or, you know, we go to restore it and, you know, as you're handing me the drive, it slips out of your hand and smashes on the ground. At least we can then go back to a cloud backup and make sure that your cloud backups are proper cloud. We hear a lot from practices and they want to back up to their home. What we've found is that there are softwares out there that do it, but they're not reliable. We've spent tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars to build the infrastructure and buy the software so that we can do it very reliably. It's intangible to be able to have that peace of mind.
Okay, so action item number three after backups.
Make sure you're always updating your computers. It's free. It's provided by Microsoft. Yes, it does cause dramas. We hear a lot, a Microsoft update might destroy, you know, your ability to open up Oasis or whatever dental practice software you're running for a short period of time in a morning. It's also annoying. You got to shut down your computer and it comes up with updating stage 1 of 1, 2 of 2, 3 of 3. The biggest thing with those updates is they're there for security. A lot of these crypto lockers, malwares, everything. What they're looking for is they're looking to use exploits that are in the code. And the updates are effectively closing those exploits.
Yeah, okay. So you're closing the windows of opportunity for the hackers.
Yeah. You do that, you're laughing.
Okay, cool. So really, I'm going to wrap that up into a couple of things. So essentially, what you said there is make sure you've got good antivirus, you've got the latest and greatest there, you've got really good backup, the double-barreled approach you've just alluded to, and of course, you're updating the software on your computers regularly, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to also mention just all of that just to probably put under the umbrella of regularly review your IT infrastructure. And I think, yeah, because that was the mistake that we made. Anyway, so my hot tip is, you know, all of those three things James spoke about for me fall under the umbrella of check things regularly to make sure that everything's the way it should be. So get that audit done and go from there.
It definitely. And, you know, it's like teeth. You do a 6-monthly checkup on your patient. Just with us, the servers and the computers that we look after, which we've got around 1,000 that we look after now, they're our patients. And as a result, we're regularly making sure that they're okay. We're making sure that they're up to date. And we're also getting reports to notify us when there is an issue. It'd be like imagine if you could get a call from a tooth saying, hey, you need to have a look at me. I'm going to get a cavity. That's invaluable.
That's the alert system. Yeah, absolutely. The alert system, having that's cool. Hey, mate, we've covered a fair bit of territory today. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come and help those of us who are, you know, a bit IT challenged in some areas to get some robust solutions in place and, you know, highlight some of the pitfalls as well as the solutions for them. As always, James, you are incredibly generous with your time. I really appreciate that. And I also really appreciate the fact that you got us out of the poo when we really needed you. So thank you so much on both those levels. And, mate, looking forward to catching up next time you're in Canberra. We'll go and have a lovely meal somewhere.
And I look forward to it, Jesse.
Okay, mate. All the best.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.